You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Enough is enough. Have you ever uttered those words? Enough is enough. Perhaps something or someone has driven you to the point of saying, enough is enough. I've had it. I'm through. I'm looking at you parents coming back from spring break. Perhaps you're saying, enough is enough. Thank God tomorrow's Monday. I had an enough is enough moment this past week. Let me just give the caveat before I say anything. We had a wonderful time on spring break. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. We did. But we went up to Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, a wonderful place to go, but I found myself saying, enough is enough. It's time to go home. And the point at which I said that was on the log ride. You know the log ride where you come down the waterfall and the water splashes? The first three times were really good. It was the fourth time where I said, enough is enough. And, you know, being late March, not a lot of people were in line for the log ride. That was not the most populated ride. And so my almost five-year-old daughter and my seven-year-old son said, again, again. So we just stayed on the log and did it four consecutive times. Well, upon the fourth time, my son convinced me to get into the front of the boat. And pro tip, you want to sit in the back, actually, if you want to stay dry. And I was relatively dry until the fourth run. And it's not the water coming from the front. It's the water that sloshes in from the sides. And so mid-torso down, I was drenched. Enough is enough. That was my final ride, and that was our final ride for the day. It was time to go back to the parking lot. And on the way out, the man at the front gate said, would you like for me to take your photograph? And I said, sure. Let us document this embarrassment for generations to come. Enough is enough. Well, I give that ridiculous preface to this sermon, enough is enough, to say that the theme running throughout the prodigal son, this familiar passage, we hear over and over again, not literally the words, but the sentiment, enough is enough. And the first is with the younger son, the prodigal son. He's tired of living at home. He's tired of living under dad's rule. Enough is enough. And so he goes to his father and says, give me my inheritance. I'm ready to go. Enough is enough. Well, not the response we would expect. The father acquiesces. He gives the inheritance prematurely. You know, inheritance typically comes after one has died, but he graciously gives it in advance. And what does the son do? Well, when I preach to the day school students, I say the son went to Paramount and spent all of his quarters on arcade games. If you don't know what Paramount is, it's a sports bar and grill just a few blocks down. They have wonderful hamburgers, by the way, and tremendous classic video games. But he squandered all of his money. He went down to Bourbon Street and had a good time, had a really good rolling, rollicking time. Is it Jim Gaffigan said, Bourbon Street's the only place where you can walk around stumbling and people say, he's having a good time. If you do that in downtown Birmingham, people think, that's sad. But Bourbon Street and St. Patrick's Day are the two places where you can do that. Well, enough is enough. Again, he says the words, enough is enough. I've spent all of my money. I have nothing left. He's tired of laying in the pig pen, eating the pods that the pigs eat. Actually, it doesn't even say that. It says he wishes he could eat those, and he's starving. And so a different sense of the phrase, enough is enough. He's hit rock bottom, and he says, enough is enough. And he rehearses the apology. He's going to go back to his father's house. He rehearses what he's going to say. And by the way, if you ever find yourself rehearsing the words of an apology, it's probably not heartfelt. It's probably not sincere. You're probably trying to find the exact formula to get what you want. And that's exactly what's going on here. You can call it repentance if you want, but it's not really repentance, is it? He just wants food. He's hit rock bottom, and he just wants food. He's not repenting. He needs sustenance. So he rehearses the words, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I mean, just he's got the words down perfectly. And he makes his way back. His father sees him before he even gets to the driveway. And the father is looking out, and he runs and meets him. And by the way, look at Deuteronomy chapter 21 when you have the time. It outlines the rules. This is the law given to Israel. what inheritance rules are and what the rules stated. And right after the inheritance portion in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 21, it talks about disobedient sons and what's supposed to happen to them. By the law, this young man should have been executed. He should have been stoned. Rebellious children, according to the law of Moses, eventually are sentenced to death. So according to the letter of the law, there's no reason the father should be running in an undignified way down the driveway. I mean, can you imagine living in the first century? This prodigal son has squandered his wealth. He's gone out with Gentiles and prostitutes and pigs. And now he has the gall to come back to his father's house. And the father, in an undignified manner, runs. The text says he runs to greet his son. And he doesn't say, I'm so glad you're here, now get back to work. He doesn't say, you have no business here, turn around. Instead, he embraces him and kisses him. And the son begins to utter the words, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. But the father doesn't let him finish, does he? He interrupts him. He says, now, enough is enough. A new meaning of enough. Enough is enough. I won't hear that. You are my son. You're not a servant. You're not going to go work in the fields. So he tells the servants to strike up the band and to kill the fatted calf. They're going to have a party. I've had enough of you pretending you're going to be a servant. You're my son. Welcome home. I love you. Well, as the party goes on, there's singing and there's dancing. And there's a good time being had. And around the corner lurks the older brother. And another person who utters the words, enough is enough. I've had it with the loud music. Turn it down. What's this all about? Well, your brother's home. And your dad's throwing him a party. Ugh. Enough is enough, Dad. How are you going to let him keep doing this? He always does this. And you always, always forgive him. I've been here all along. I've towed the line. I've done what was required. You've done nothing for me. And the father says, enough is enough. I won't hear that. Everything that I have belongs to you. You've been here all along, and it's all yours. In fact, you're welcome to the party as well. No need to sit in the corner with your nose in the corner, with your arms folded. I won't hear it. Enough is enough. We've heard this story, this parable, perhaps hundreds of times over our lives. Maybe for you, this is your first time this morning, but there's so much to be gleaned from it. There's more than one little sermon can unpack. But often in Lent, we hear these kind of messages that we should be like the prodigal. We should return. We should repent. We should amend our lives. And as I've already noted, all of that's a farce. The son has not amended anything. He simply wants to eat. So you might identify with the younger son, the one who's run away, the one who's broken the rules, or perhaps you identify with the older brother. Perhaps you're the one who's always been there. You've always done what is required. You're the one that looked after mom and dad when they went to the nursing home. You're the one that made sure everything fell in place. You're the one. And maybe you this morning are saying, enough is enough, God. When am I going to get mine? At different portions of our lives, perhaps we're one or the other, perhaps we're both. But I challenge us this morning to consider that this parable is more than about our actions, more than about our behavior, more than about our repentance or lack thereof. There's something much bigger going on in this parable. It's about God's activity. It's the God who, in an undignified way, runs down the driveway and meets us before we even open our mouths. Long before we arrived this morning, God ran down the driveway. The law would have it that you and I deserve punishment. The law would have it that you and I have no standing. The law would have it where you and I meet our final end. But God works not according to the law. He works outside of the law. He's, as Stephen Paulson calls him, an outlaw God. The gospel is not the law. Forgiveness is not demanded. Forgiveness is not obligatory. God forgives and forgives lavishly out of his good pleasure. And so this morning, no matter where you find yourself, God has met you at the driveway. He's thrown a coat on you. He's put a ring on your finger and he says, come on in. I've laid out a feast for you. And that's perhaps where true repentance can actually be birthed. When we've been lavishly forgiven and lavishly given God's grace, it changes us. Not because we have to, but that's what God's grace does. So this morning, I don't know what in your heart has you saying enough is enough. Maybe it's a disobedient child who squandered your wealth. Or maybe you're the one who squandered the wealth. Or maybe you're just tired of the same old, same old. You're tired of hearing the same old message of repent, get your life together, and God will bless you, which is a total lie. It's a total lie. God the Father this morning is saying is enough is enough. God the Father said to his people Israel, enough is enough. You're not getting it. This law was never meant to achieve righteousness for you. This law was given to reveal to you how broken you are and how broken sin nature in you is. And so what is the gospel? What is the Father giving to the Son? He's not looking away. He's not turning away. He's forgiving his sins. He's not saying, here's a new law to be put on you. Now get in line. I'll love you if. If you need it more clearly, what does St. Paul say? He says, he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that you and I would become the righteousness of God. So that you and I may be the righteousness of God. Jesus himself took on the very sin of the world. He took on your sin. And that is, as Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. There is nothing that stands before you and the Father. This morning, God has appointed for you to hear these words. But because of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. I'm an ambassador of Christ. These brothers and sisters of mine up here are ambassadors of Christ. You're an ambassador of Christ. And the message that we bring is that you are forgiven. Full stop. No strings attached. God throws the robe on you, puts the ring on your finger. He lays out the feast. He strikes up the band. We'll strike up the music in just a few moments. And if you want to dance, you can dance. I kid you not, there was dancing at 7:30 this morning. That's not even a joke. Vice Dean Murray was dancing down the aisle. I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. God has laid it out for you. His body broken, his blood shed, laid out for you, for the remission of sins. This morning as you come, sure, you can be the older brother. You can sulk and pout in the corner. But why would you? God says, enough is enough. Come receive. All that is mine is now yours. I'll take your sin. You take my righteousness. So hear those words this morning. Let us pray. Lord, give us the faith now to believe these words, that we are free, we are forgiven, we are loved, and Lord, you call us into your kingdom. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.